Welcome, everyone, to Tales from Planet Customer Experience. As always, my name is Brian Brunner.
And I'm Deliana Pavlova. We're a couple of customer experience geeks who love sharing stories about customer experience. In today's episode, we have another conversation between Brian and myself about our own experiences. And on today's episode, we want to talk about a business that Brian's wife has started kind of recently. I think it's been over a year, right, Brian? But we want to talk about some of the lessons learned and, you know, what that experience been, especially through your lens as a CX professional and the CX geek. So I'm really excited to hear kind of how you've been thinking about the business and making great customer experiences in a small business environment.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Deliana. So something obviously I think about as Deliana said, we're CX geeks, and so we think about this stuff a lot, but it's been a really interesting experience to think about it from a small business perspective, as well as from a at least a close partner to the owner of this business, we'll put it that way. And so just to give you a little bit of background, so a couple of years ago, my wife decided to start a soda business. And those of our listeners who are from kind of the Intermountain West will be very familiar with these kinds of where, you know, you have start with a soda, you add different flavors to it and cream to it. There's a, you know, a lot of noise kind of out there talking about so-called dirty sodas, which adds cream to it and things like that. So there's nothing like that in Wisconsin where we live. And so my wife and actually my son was also very much involved with this, who, by the way, is our editor for our podcast. So a shout out there, but they decided to give this a shot and see if we could make it work here in Wisconsin. And so a couple of years just kind of doing, or two summers, I should say, we were just doing farmers markets. And especially the second year had quite a bit of success with it. And so we decided to try our hand at a brick and mortar. So we're actually sharing a space with an ice cream shop. And we've been, there since August of 2023. So coming up in about 6 months now, actually. And so it's been really interesting. A couple of things that I've learned. One is, you know, we always talk about, and of course, on this podcast, we talk a lot about the customer experience. And that, even though we're selling something as simple and as relatively inexpensive as soda, it really makes a difference. And it kind of jumped out to me one day. We were talking to one of our sort of regular customers, and he, this is actually when we were at the market still, and he said, we were talking about that, you know, these kinds of shops are very popular out west. And in fact, there's several major chains that have locations all over the place. In fact, I was just in Texas last week and saw two of those down there in Houston. So they're starting to expand outside of the Intermountain West. And so we were just kind of joking that, hey, well, we hope they don't come here because, you know, we don't want to have to compete against them or whatever. We're just kind of talking about that. And our customer said, yeah, but they don't have you guys. And it kind of struck me a little bit. I think his point was that the experience that we're trying to provide just by being friendly, just by, you know, my wife sometimes considers herself, because she's the one who spends most of the time at the business, she considers herself almost like a bartender, because she has customers who come in and tell her about their day, and it's fantastic. It's awesome. She loves it. She loves that part of it. And so it kind of just opened up my eyes to that it really is about the kind of experience. Yes, you have to have a good product. Yes, you have to, you know, be clean and safe and healthy, and all those things are kind of, you know, basic things that every company has to have. But when you have that customer experience, that's going to help, especially once you have competition. And again, we don't technically have a ton of competition right now, but that may happen in the future. So we're hoping that we can continue to provide that experience to where, you know, people know what to expect when they come in, and then they, you know, see a friendly face and a friendly smile, and it goes beyond just the product. So that was kind of the first thing that we've been thinking about.
And that's a great point, because the question I wanted to ask you, right, is how do you balance kind of the having a great product and an experience in terms of importance, right? Like, what do you think is more important? Having like a fantastic product that draws the audience or that experience? And it sounds like you've built on that, especially with repeat customers, that there it's not just the product. The experience seems to definitely be a factor.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question because I think it's, you know, you like if our drinks tasted like garbage, it doesn't matter how friendly we are, right? People aren't coming back. But and to me, it's that's part of the product as well. They're sort of intermixed because my wife will you know, she's really the expert of this, but she'll, you know, somebody will come in and maybe it's a regular and they'll be like, I kind of want to try something different. She's like, okay, I got an idea for it. She'll mix up a new drink and then give it to them. They're like, oh, I really like this. What, you know, what? And so she's kind of learned what our customers like. And she'll say, oh, but you don't like coconut, right? So I'm not going to put any coconut flavor in it or you don't like it with cream or whatever. So it's kind of intermixed, but I think that, you know, if we had a great product, and the service, you know, and the experience, I wouldn't say service, the experience was not that great. I think maybe it would, you could, I think you can be successful for a time, but I think if you want longer term success, and again, I'm talking like we have such a long, we've, you know, open in this place for 6 months. I'm not sure I'm quite the expert at it yet, but I feel like that's what people keep coming back for because eventually, you know, and obviously we're, you know, we have new products and we try new things and different ways of doing things. And that, you know, we still want to innovate because that's important. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think people come back because they like the experience of, you know, talking and some people, you know, don't want that as much. I know we've talked in the past about, Deliana, you're more of a let me get in and get it done and get out. But at least if someone's being friendly to you, and we've talked a million times on this podcast about the sort of, you know, may I help you? Someone walks in as they grumble, right. Say that.
And there's something more to it. Now you're also talking about personalization, right? Knowing your customers and kind of giving them that custom experience because you know what they like and don't like. So, and we've talked about that many times too, right? Like people like to be seen and like recognizing that, yes, I remember you. I know what you like. So I'm going to personalize this for you. And it makes a difference, right?
It's sometimes embarrassing because obviously my wife, you know, I have my day job, so to speak. And so she spends a lot more time interacting with customers. So sometimes customer will come in and my wife will say, oh, do you want your usual? And they say, yes. And then I'm supposed to ring them up on the POS. And I'm like, what is their usual? Cause I have no idea. So I'm still learning those things, but my wife is really good at it.
Yeah. I was going to ask you something because to me it's interesting, right? It sounds like, for your wife, these things come naturally and she likes doing this. And so it wasn't necessarily, how do I say this? Like a intentional thought to develop the business with that, like a process or something that takes into account customer experience. It almost sounds like it's organic and natural and, you know, it just happens. Or am I wrong? Like, because we, as CX professionals, right, we try to design these experiences. How do we create that? And very often we talk about it takes the right person, right? Somebody who has those soft skills and kind of has a knack of understanding people and knowing what they might like. So now sitting on the other side, what's your perspective on that? Did that change?
Yeah. So to go back to your other question of, you know, was it organic or was it designed? It's probably a little of both. I mean, certainly my wife, you know, she's a very personable person. She likes talking to people and listening and interacting. So I think that, you know, that sort of just comes naturally, like you said. But, you know, as we have been thinking about it, and it's sort of become a fan, you know, I joke about the council of the leaders of this business. The business is called Fizzy Biz, by the way. And so my son is involved and his wife, our daughter-in-law is involved and of course my wife. So sometimes we're just sitting around, we're talking about, all right, how do we, what's the next step? What do we do? You know, what are some other things that we can do? And so that's where those conversations that you're talking about also happen, right? Of how do we make this a more pleasant experience? So I'll give you a silly example, right? At the farmer's market, we had enough space where we were to have, instead of, you know, most vendors have a tent. And so we had enough space where we could put a separate tent up. And so during the summer, when it's really hot and where we're positioned, especially in the afternoon, people, as we're taking their orders, they're standing in the direct sun. And so we wanted to set up the second tent to kind of say, hey, come over here, get out of the sun, you know, enjoy the shade. And then actually sometimes when it's rained, they can also, you know, come stand in there. And so then we also thought about, all right, what does that space look like? And so we have sort of a backdrop. And of course, nowadays with Instagram and things, it's got to be something that, you know, people want to take a picture with. And so we've sort of tried to design that experience at the same time, in addition to sort of the natural, you know, abilities that my wife has.
That's a fantastic example, actually. I mean, I didn't know where you were going with this, but like that to me shows so much, you know, thought and intention and like really thinking about, wow, people are sitting in the sun, right? It sounds silly and sounds like a small thing, but it actually is a really big deal.
Well, so let me give you another example on that because it's funny. So in the market, we obviously there are several other food vendors and you know, most of them are fantastic. And even the one that I'm going to talk about, they're great people. It's a great thing. But I went and ordered food and then and I kind of looked around and I noticed there's a lot of people standing around this tent, right, or this booth. And I'm like, what are these people doing here? Like, this must be really good food. And I realized that most of us were waiting for our food, right? And again, sometimes, and I'm, you know, mixing a soda is much, much faster than cooking, you know, sure, whatever that these folks were cooking. But I ended up standing in the hot sun for a significant amount of time. And quite honestly, by the time I got my food, I was kind of cranky, right? I was probably a little hangry as well, right? But I had been standing in the sun for so long. Now, again, I'm sure they do the best they can, and they didn't necessarily have the space to have another tent or whatever. So I'm not saying that to be critical of them, but that sort of reinforced my, man, it stinks to be standing out in the sun. And you know, we also try to get our, you know, we try to not have a very long line because we want to get people through very quickly. Again, ours is a simpler product than some other folks, but that kind of also just reinforced to me that, yeah, maybe there's a way we can make this a little bit more pleasant.
And was that an additional cost to your business? Because I'm assuming you have to purchase the or rent the additional space, tent, et cetera, right? So there was some cost associated.
There was, yeah. And in fact, this year as we're going, because we're going to start up the markets again here in the summer, we intentionally said we need two spaces, at least for this one, because we want to be able to provide that experience again. And so there is a cost. It's not a huge cost, but to me, it was worth it to be able to provide that experience for our customers.
And it sounds like a cool place to socialize too while you wait. Like you said, if you have like some backdrops for people to take pictures, whatever, right? Like it makes the wait also feel shorter, I think, if you have something to do, right, in the meantime, in addition to obviously talking to you and your wife is...
Well, and that's the funny thing is that when we're at the market, like we have a lot of customers, you know, at the shop that we have more ability to interact with people because we don't tend to have huge lines and people coming in and out at the market. You know, sometimes we just, you know, we're doing, you know, tons of people per hour. And so we don't get a chance to interact a whole lot. But again, that goes back to, but that very small moment can make such a big difference where we can, even in just a few minutes. And it's funny because I sometimes joke that we even are sort of like consultants, right? Because this is a kind of a new product for people. People, I can't tell you how many people walk up and say, what is this? I don't get it, right? And so we're saying, okay, well, you know, this is what you do. And here's step one, here's step two. And we've tried to design our signs around that as well. So it's a better experience for the customer. But that really, and so sometimes it's just a 30-second, maybe 1-minute interaction, but we feel like that's so important to make sure that that's positive. And that sort of leads me to my second point, which is hiring people. And you've already kind of alluded to this as well, right? Having the right people is so critical. And we've struggled and we've hired some, you know, relatively young folks that are awesome young people that we love a lot. But they're a little bit nervous about talking to customers. And so we've been nervous about turning that over. And even in the shop where we've hired a couple of people to kind of Like we've been, we want, you know, it's interesting. We've had people kind of come in and say, hey, are you guys hiring? And we're like, well, we're not hiring right now. We might be a little bit later. And they say, okay, well, I'll come back. And we've never seen them in the shop. They have no idea. But then we have some, these two young ladies in particular that we hired that are in our shop all the time. Like they love our product. They're always asking, oh, let's try this. Let's do that. Those are the kinds of people that we want because we need someone who can sort of evangelize for our product, that can explain things and get excited about it and not just be the, may I help you, you know? And so I, that has been a really interesting experience as we've tried to hire people and like wanting people who are really excited about the product and who also have those skills, like you said, because part of it's training, part of it's skills, part of it's also maturity. If they're, you know, younger folks, as they get older, get more comfortable talking to people and things like that. But that, because you're really, and it's funny, I think my wife in particular feels this, you know, when we leave that shop in somebody else's hands, it's a little scary because this is our baby, you know? And it's like, okay, we're now turning, it's almost like leaving your child with a babysitter. It's kind of a silly thing maybe, but you're like, don't treat our customers poorly. Like we need you to be happy and friendly. And so when we're like, if we're out of town and we come back and someone's like, oh, you're back. And so we'll say, well, how'd it go with so-and-so? And oh, they were great. And we're like, okay, good. Whew. You know, it worked out right. But finding the right people. And that's, and I guess that's the last point I'll make here is that I'm amazed at, and I'm not sure exactly how this happens, but in you know, where you have a business owner who has hired somebody who really doesn't treat customers well. And that's like, I don't get that. I don't know if it's a lack of true feeling ownership or it's just the best that they could do that, you know, or the person interviewed really well, but they're not that good. I just, you know, I'm always intrigued by how did this person get this job if they don't seem to know the first thing about interacting with customers?
Yeah, because you definitely want them to represent and stand for what you want your brand to stand for. And maybe it's different when, you know, business grows and scales and are you able to effectively scale and maintain that standard? But for small businesses, you should be able to, you know, find the people that represent the brand and the experience you want to provide. And I have a cheeky question, but I'm just curious because I'm really stuck on this kind of like the experience part while they're waiting for their drink. I don't know what's the last step in the process, but let's say it's like step three. Does it include like hang out here and take selfies in our, like what's step three? Like enjoy the experience. I'm just curious how that, you know, what's the end of the journey?
So, you know, so people walk up, they order the drink, and then, you know, we have a little process of putting ice in the cup and putting the flavors in. Then we, and in the market, we use cans of soda because we can, you know, they're portable or whatever. And so we open the can, put the soda in or whatever. And then that last step, so as they're waiting on the side, you know, in this other tent, we've had to train even some of our most shy employees to make sure, hey, when you hand them their drink, make sure you look them in the eye and you say, you know, enjoy or have a nice day or something, but make sure that it's a good experience as you're handing them that drink. And then that way, and oftentimes in the market, like I said, people are usually kind of on the move. And so they don't stick around a lot, although we have had people just kind of hang out there. But in the shop, it's, we've also, and again, it's a little bit different because we're sharing with this ice cream and they've been closed for the winter. And so, but we're trying to figure out how do we make it where people really want to hang out and have that, you know, that positive experience. And, but I guess the one thing I will say that's been fun. So the last several, I guess, weeks or months, we've had a Taylor Swift themed drink every week. So every album that she has, and I always say, I'm not a Swiftie, but I'm surrounded by Swifties in my family. And so every week, my daughter-in-law is insanely creative, and she has created the album cover, but instead of like Taylor Swift on there, it's like our cup with our logo on it or something like that. They're super cute. Look up Fizzy Biz Soft Drinks in Instagram, and you'll see some really great stuff that she's done. But every week we do this special, and so we've invented a new drink every week. And there's people that will come and they don't even care what the drink is; they're just happy because it's a Taylor Swift drink. And so then we have again this backdrop, and so we have a little Polaroid camera, so we've taken pictures of people with their Taylor Swift drinks, and then we have them sign it, and then we put it up on the wall. And that has gone so much. Like, we had this one young lady in particular. She's one of our best customers. She's a really cute girl. And I guess, and again, I'm not a Swiftie, so I had to ask, but apparently one of the albums has something to do, or it was in the concert, something with a snake. And so this young lady actually owns a real live snake. And so she brought it in. She was like, "Is it okay if we come in?" And at first I was like, "Why does she have a fake snake?" Then I'm like, "Oh my goodness, it's moving." But she wanted to take the picture, the Taylor Swift picture, with this snake.
That is crazy.
So yeah, we actually, it's on our social media as well. You can check it out.
I'll have to post that.
Again, I don't know if we're all the way where we want to be and created a cool hangout place, but that's kind of where we're trying to do something similar to the extra tent where people, you know, and again, it's still hot, even if you're in the shade, but you know, people will hang out for a few minutes and chat with us. So, it's all about designing that experience there. So.
Brian, I mean, we've talked about your business here and there, but I guess I never realized how much more there is to the experience than, you know, just providing cool drinks, right? It's not just handing someone a soda or a refreshing drink on a hot day. This really goes well above and beyond than, right, like trying to provide a cool experience. I know I've said for a long time I have to drive up to Wisconsin to try this, so I'm going to put it on my summer to-do list to visit the Fizzy Biz. Yes,
Fizzy Biz. Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah, we I know we're just about out of time. So, I think it just comes back to what, no matter what you're selling, right? What kind of experience are you creating for your customers? And again, you and I both work in healthcare, and it's our customers are you know, not at a market looking for a delicious drink, right? They're thinking about their patients. They're thinking about the people they're taking care of. And so we've had this talk, we've talked about this before, that what does that mean, right? We're not going to be a Disney. We're not going to be an Amazon type of thing,
exactly.
You know, probably as far as the glitz and things like that. But can we provide where, you know, when their interactions with us are positive, are ways where they can have confidence in us and they can, you know, feel good about that. And that's just as important, if not maybe more important, than what your product does. And you know, assuming that you're meeting all the normal stakes.
Of course. Yeah. You have the table stakes, right? Like you're
exactly.
meeting expectations. Yeah. And then beyond that, it's really knowing your audience, like you were talking about. In our case, we're talking about patients who are worried about their health or experiencing issues. And that's more important than feeling safe and, you know, taken care of than, in this case, having a cool experience, you know, enjoying and doing something fun. So it depends on the circumstances and the business, but it's
principles
just knowing who your audience is.
Yeah, very true. Well, this has been a lot of fun, and hopefully I didn't ramble too much. Next time we'll have to get my wife on; she can give you all kinds of experiences as well and thoughts and. But again, for all of our listeners, thank you. We've tried to be more consistent in releasing our episodes, and so hopefully it's getting better there. And we really appreciate all that you do. If you do have an experience that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to talk about it here and love to hear it. So send us an email at planetcustomerexperience@gmail.com. And we can either read it for you or we can have you come on and talk about it and be part of the podcast. So again, thank you, everyone. Deliana, thank you so much for the questions.
Thank you for sharing the story. It was great.
So for everybody, we'll wish you a wonderful week and greetings from Planet Customer Experience.
Awesome. This was a really good one.